the challenge, we give the game our all. With sheer determination, we're going for the ball. For the Cloud Thunders, go Cats, we break the banner down. We know they'll play with courage till the final siren sounds. And the rival team will know that they've been run down by a pack. But you're eaten by, beaten by, defeated by the Cats. In a cat attack, go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong. A cat attack, go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong. In a cat attack, go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong. A cat attack, go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong.
Welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast. 2-0. What a ring to it. It has 2-0. I don't think anybody predicted 2-0 for the Pussycats, but that's where they find themselves for this 2-0 edition of the Cat Attack Podcast. Ben Casanelia with you front and square of the 2-0 podcast. And I'm joined by a man who's always front and square. In fact, he's almost naked. He's that excited about the blue and white hoop start to the year. Tom King, K-Rock's number one caller.
I would have had a Moen too, to be honest. I was thinking if they got out of the first 6 weeks 2-4, and they may still be 2-4, that would probably be about where they're sitting. But renewed hope, and there's something about the Cats that you... It's just a little bit arousing.
It is.
The way they're playing.
We've played 8 really good quarters.
They have.
8 consistent quarters of footy that eventually wore Collingwood down. And look, Collingwood had their chances. That game probably ebbed and flowed on a bit of luck in the end, and the Cats ended up on the right side of that luck. But the fact that they were still there when the whips are cracking suggests they'd played good footy. And then they just destroyed Melbourne. What I like is that... And it's been a trait of pretty much all the premiership sides, and we saw it even last year with West Coast, is that when the flow of the game is against them, they're able to limit the scoring of the opposition. They did it against Collingwood in round one, and they did it particularly in the second quarter on Saturday night, where Melbourne dominated the first maybe 15 minutes of the second quarter. The game was played primarily at their end of GMHBA Stadium.
I reckon
Stadium.
The breeze was favouring that city end for that second quarter. Like it did in the first quarter for the Cats, it probably went a little bit more, dropped off a little bit in the second half, but second quarter.
Geelong were able to hold up, though. They were able to really limit the scoring. And that's what, I mean, you think of Richmond in 2017, that's what they were really good at. They were really good at limiting the damage, and then they'd go forward and kick a goal. And that's what Geelong have been able to do in two games this year. And I've said it before, but I think it's something that on face value and the small sample we've seen, it's a sustainable brand of footy. It's not the Stars absolutely dominating.
No.
It's not a reliance on a Tom Hawkins or a Dangerfield or a Selwood to play absolutely ball-busting games to get you over the line. It's something from everybody, and that's why I think that it is potentially sustainable.
Was that a laid-back 37 possessions from Patrick Dangerfield?
Yeah, I mean, look, 37 possessions. If you're playing in the midfield in an AFL game of footy, there's, 400 possessions between them.
Yep.
Someone's got to get them. And if you're running around without anybody on you, you got to get 25 on your ear, don't you? Without even thinking about it. So I'm giving up being lured by possession. Did you think Patrick Dangerfield was the best player on the ground?
No.
I didn't either. He played well, but people just get lured by the number of possessions. And footy's gone way past that, given you divide 400 by what?
22.
Well, even the 10 players who play through the midfield. Yeah, someone's got to get him.
Who do you think was the best player on the ground?
I thought Jake Colajasny was the best player on the ground.
For the work he did on
Petrarca. He was magnificent. He tailed Petrarca and tailed him up numerous times one-on-one when you thought Petrarca potentially had the chance to get the better of him, and he didn't. And look, Jake Colajasny won't get a vote in a pink fit from most people, but I thought he was Geelong's best player.
17 possessions, 6 rebound 50s. Geelong rebounded out of 50 65 times.
And that's where they set up a lot of their scores. I mean, Tommy Atkins was good again. Grian Myers kicked a nice goal. Constable, rising star.
I thought Constable was the best on ground.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about best on ground. He certainly played well. I mean, 31 touches in his second game.
And 13 of them contested.
Yeah, he's going to be a star. Garnaw said that from last year, that he's really going to be a really, really, really good footballer. And he's only going to get better. I wonder how he'll stay the course this year. He's quite light for the side, for the position he's playing. So I just wonder. He's one that will be carefully managed. I wonder whether he'll play this week.
5-day turnaround, for the Cats. They've already confirmed Henderson will come in for Henry. They've confirmed Ablett will play, although when they were doing their planning for the season, they considered not taking Gary to Adelaide, but his form dictates that he's in. He's got to go. If they were 0-2 and he was battling a bit, you maybe go, Gaz.
It's only two rounds into the season.
Yeah, but we've got to remember he's...
He's not 90.
No, he's rising 35, and he's not going to play every game.
The no, Cats I know, but you would have thought you could get 5 or 6 games into him first off.
I suppose just the five-day break. You know, how banged up was he going to be after the two games?
Well, he's not playing on the ball as much as
he did. That's true, and that's why he will play. Yeah, the interesting one will be Will Myers, Constable, Clark.
I think they need to mix it up.
Yep.
I think it would be folly to suggest those kids. And what would happen, you potentially get those kids up for that game, and then the next week they're diabolical. So
they got a 9-day break off this. They've actually got consecutive 9-day breaks, the Cats.
And given that Charlie Constable, when he came from the field late in the game, he was in full spasm. His whole setup was spasming, which is another word we need to add. I think we may have added it last year, but spasm is a word that rolls off the tongue quite beautifully. He'd be a chance that to not play, I would have thought. Myers might get a rest. And I mean, they bring in Henderson, they bring in Guthrie, maybe.
Cam Guthrie's no guarantee.
Okay. Who else can they bring in?
Quinton Narkle didn't play in the VFL last week, and there was a reason
for
that.
Well, could he come in for Myers?
That's probably what they're looking at.
Maybe.
Henderson only played half a game in the VFL.
And the good thing too, Kingy, is that, you know, as a trade of all good sides, is that anybody who comes in is going to be, not that they wouldn't generally, but is going to be busting a boiler and need to play well to stay in the team.
Yep.
You know, you're not going to be gifted games. And given the fact that the Cats went with the four debutants round one, they're clearly sending a message that they picked the team that they felt trained the best over summer. The players got an opportunity who you thought may not get an opportunity. And I mean, we don't see them every day, so we have no idea how they're tracking. But it was good for those guys to get reward. And then the players, you know, delivered. So it's going to be a real hot, it's going to be a potpourri. Do you like that? A potpourri. That's just an extraordinary word for me, isn't it? Do you know, my wife brought home this thing and she said it's potpourri. And I just thought, what? It sounds like, did a horse won a derby in 1928? Potpourri, didn't it? I thought, potpourri. Once I start talking about potpourri cushions and the colour of your sneakers, it's time to recess. Where are you going? And I had to do that, unfortunately.
Gary Rowan, I just want to talk to you about him. You've been always questioned Gary Rowan in terms of he flits in and out of games. He flitted in and out on Saturday night. But are you happy for Gary Rowan to be a 9-possession, 3-goal player every week?
9 possessions and 3 goals.
Yep.
And kick 66 of the year.
Yep. Off only 198 possessions.
That would be extraordinary. It would be one of the greatest seasons of a half forward in the history of the game. If he continues to play like he is, I'm more than happy for him.
He only laid the 2 tackles. Tom Atkins, 8 tackles.
Yeah. And Dalhouse was up there again. I think he laid double figures.
11.
Yeah.
Parfitt laid 9.
Yeah, well, they were their... I mentioned that ad nauseum on Curra. They were their 3 leading tacklers in round one. Atkins, Parfitt, Dalhouse.
He did it again.
And did it again. Yep. So that's what you want. I mean, Rowan, yeah, he's been fantastic. And
it's the pressure. It's the perceived pressure. He makes defenders...
Yeah, he doesn't...
Start going, where the hell is Gary Rowan? When is he going to run me down?
The old annus, the sphincter, gets a little tight, doesn't it? When Gaz is about.
Yeah.
But he can actually influence the play without touching the ball, I suppose.
Mm.
So he might only have the 10 possessions, but he might create a goal or two or be involved with a turnover through his leg speed and his pressure. So it's potentially not all about possessions. And look, I have been critical that he just doesn't touch the ball enough. And look, proof's in the pudding. He's been great for 2 weeks. Mm. I'd like to see him sustain it for 9 or 10.
Mm. Especially through this very...
Do you know what he does look like he's doing, though? And Luke Dalhouse? Look like they're really enjoying their footy. Like, Dalhouse celebrated like he just got the 6th golden ticket, didn't he?
But he did that in the first game, too. Do you think he
needs to work on his celebrations?
Yeah, they're a bit sort of...
It's like he's convulsing. It's like you have to sort of rush out, and I'm waiting for one of his teammates to produce the Heimlich manoeuvre on him. Did you see when Chopper Reid went out for dinner?
No.
And somebody next to him on the table next to him
No.
Was having a choked on a chicken bone.
Yep.
and Chopper, the person having dinner with this person, tried the Heimlich maneuver on this person, and it wasn't producing any results. So Chopper got up and went over and said, look, I'm going to do the Chopper maneuver, he called it. And he pulled out his gun and he pointed it straight at the person's head, and that chicken bone came out faster than you can absolutely imagine.
Is that a true story? Or was that in the movie?
The Chopper maneuver.
Was that in the movie?
No, no. That's
a true story.
That is as true as I'm riding this pink elephant.
You're riding it well too.
Hands and heels.
What do we make of the best part of the night? Was the best part of the night the little handoff back to Jordan Clark from Tom Hawkins?
It was on for a Geelong supporters' perspective. It was. If you're a Melbourne supporter, it was rubbing salt into an already gaping wound. Unfortunately, we Mark Neild and Bluey McGrath and Carrot Footy both, particularly Mark Neild, said that was an embarrassing passage of play for Melbourne. Just put an exclamation mark on their night, but for the Cats it was great, and you know, symbolic of the team. You got Hawkins in the twilight of his career handing it to a kid playing his second game who gets his first goal, and he hoisted it into the Barwon River. So it was good. It was everybody played their part and did it really well. And I mean even when Geelong have been up and about in the last few years, you know, they've had some good patches, I can't recall 8 quarters of consistent footy built on pressure, on structure, and some defensive work. I can't recall 8 quarters, and that's exactly what we've got.
The next month is very interesting. We got through the first 2 weeks, but the month of April, trip to Adelaide, Giants back here at GMHBA, Hawthorn Easter Monday, Eagles on a Sunday twilight at GMHBA.
Even if the Cats were to go 2-2 and be 4-2, that'd be a very, very good start.
Draw opens up.
Oh, of course. And traditionally, when you think the draw opens up for the Cats, it's the games they lose.
Essendon.
They've come up against Essendon, or they lose to Carlton, the Gold Coast, or somebody. Yep. But, yeah, the way they're playing, the form they're in. I mean, Thursday night, I know Adelaide, it's a really good test on the road. Adelaide were fantastic against Sydney. Sydney got beaten by the Bulldogs, who then franked the form by beating Hawthorn. So that was a good effort from Adelaide away from home.
Mm.
Yeah, so look, it's a... But Cats go there with confidence. That's the thing. They go there with confidence. And it'd be really interesting because previously when they've gone to Adelaide, they get opened up. And, you know, at the moment they're playing footy that is really dampening the opposition's capacity to score. Can they do it against the Crows in what shapes to be a cracking match of the round on Carrick Footy on Thursday night?
Haven't won at Adelaide Oval since 2016. Have lost their last three there by a combined margin of 97 points, including that 61-point smackdown in the preliminary final.
The last time they won there, laydown Sally was still rowing.
It was 2016. It was Paddy's first game back there against the Crows. In round 8 of 2016.
Yeah, well, it's a big test for the Cats and one that they're going to take head on. And I mean, if they were to get the Chockies there, well, you'd start to derobe.
At 3-0.
Correct.
There's still 19 rounds of footy to go. Well, 19 games.
But you can really set yourself up for the season with a blinding start. If you can, you know, go 6-1 or whatever it is, if you can really fly the boxes, it gives you a little bit of leeway rather than having to chase your tail. It becomes really difficult to chase your tail for a season.
All right. Do you want to field some questions?
Yeah, here? I love fielding questions.
Cat Attack Podcast, of course, via Big Footy. Thanks to our friends at Big Footy for giving us a forum to talk about our wonderful podcast, or we think it's wonderful. This is from Gumpf.
The old Gumpf.
Thoughts on playing Tui on the wing to keep the balance we have at the moment in defence?
Yeah, well, it's probably not the silliest idea. I mean, is he right? Is he training? Is he playing VFL?
They're hoping maybe VFL next week.
So he'd probably want at least, the way the side's going, he'd want 3 weeks in the VFL, wouldn't he?
Yep.
I would have thought. Yeah, but look, that isn't the silliest idea. He's creative abilities and his sort of speed and his ability to kick the ball 60 metres, it could be a weapon sort of forward or centre. And if they feel that, you know, the defence, which certainly is at the moment, is working well enough, yeah, why not?
This is from Cats Do It Better. There's been a lot of talk about the new players coming in and changes to focus on pressure, but it also seems players know their roles a lot better this season, and the coaches are picking the best player for a position rather than picking players and trying to fit them into a spot on the ground. I understand it's a long season and we'll want a squad of players capable of playing in the team, but do you think the coaches will hold their nerve and pick the best team rather than the best players? It might mean some experienced players end up playing a fair bit of VFL.
Who's written that?
Cats Do It Better.
Well, Cats Do It Better should be on the Cat Attack podcast. I think should be a guest, because I reckon that is 100% correct. That Geelong have got people playing their roles that they're equipped to play, and they know what those roles are. And previously we've tried to put Harry Taylor up forward and Jake Colajasny on a wing, and then suddenly Mark Blitzarves is your best and fairest at full back, and then we hit a final and then he's in the ruck. Players have just been absolutely all over the place. You know, Dangerfield mixing forward and back. I know he's still doing that to a degree, but he's predominantly playing
in the midfield.
He had to last year
because he wasn't right.
Yeah, correct. But we are seeing the fruits of a relatively injury-free pre-season, but we're also seeing the fruits of a team that is being picked on its merits and picked for positions that people are equipped to play. And I think that it's been frustrating. I think Geelong fans have been frustrated for a period that players are just getting thrown all over the place.
And hoping to win games on talent.
Yeah, and that's what they've done, but that has been proven to get found out in finals, big time. So now they're building something. That's why I think it looks sustainable, because blokes know what they're doing. I mean, you look at Richmond in 2017. Nobody moved anywhere.
No.
They all have played the same position for 22 rounds. They win the premiership. The Bulldogs were the same in 2016. West Coast, players knew where they were playing. They had their midfield set, they had their forward line set, and they had their defence set. Mm. Geelong haven't been able, maybe it's been forced on them a little bit, but Geelong haven't been able to do that or wanted to do that. Mm. And the other thing too is I know it was only round one to round two, but there was no change.
No.
The side didn't change. This week there will be changes, obviously Henry injured, and they're making changes because to maybe rest a kid off a five-day break, fine. But previously the revolving door of changes involved Zach Guthrie going out, Jordan Murdoch going out, George Hall and Smith going out, and then 3 weeks later they'd all come back in for three players that got dropped. Mm. Well, hopefully those days are over and we're actually... But that's a really good call from...
Cats Do It Better.
Yeah, or cats love doing it, but love doing it better.
Mm. Tin Lids, would love to know your thoughts on Cam Guthrie and his future on the senior list. Who could you see him displacing from the current team, and what role would he play, or do you think the future may be VFL/possible trade? Cam Guthrie is contracted until at least the end of next year, if not the end of 2021.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's in the best 22.
Well, probably.
No, he is.
If he's playing well.
Yeah, his best footballs.
His best footy's in the best 22, but... Is he able to produce the best footy, and do they need him in a position? Do they need him in defence? I mean, I've always argued that his best place is probably across half-back, because he actually defends quite well one-on-one. He keeps his feet. He's pretty strong. He's got good skill. But he was tried up forward a couple of years ago across half-forward. It was horrific. He just couldn't get a kick. And in the midfield, he has his moments, but he's not really a consistent midfielder.
He can do a blanketing job if needed, though.
Well, maybe not. He did one on Dustin Martin once. I don't know if he'd do it
week
after
week.
Oh,
he can run with.
Well, maybe.
He's an aerobic beast.
Maybe that's his role. His immediate future in terms of where he plays is up in the air. Mm. There's no certainties around Cam Guthrie. So it'll be really interesting to see. If injury strikes, then he'll probably get his chance. You've got Zach Tui to come back. Mm. So he's probably ahead of him in terms of a defensive role.
Busey?
Well, Busey's another one. He's a much different player to Cam Guthrie. He's a lockdown defender. But look, I mean, I'm sure he'll get a chance at some stage of this season. It'll be up to him. He'll need to take it.
Yeah, if they're going to play finals of Cats, they're going to have to play blokes to make sure they've played some AFL.
And
40.
He'll need to take it. He wouldn't want to come into the side, have two stinkers, because he'll be back out.
Yep. Oh, Daz Broncos.
Oh, Daz.
Gents, great call last week. Long live Chuck's immortalising fry pan ass.
Fry pan
For those ass. Who are playing along at home, didn't listen to the call, Tom Atkins, after round one, we were talking about Jordan Clark. He was wearing the big shorts. He has no backside, and Tom Atkins has dubbed him fry pan ass. This is starting to get some legs. I think fry pan's a great nickname. In 10 years' time, when his career's finished, well, he's had a 200-game career, the boys will be calling him Fry Pan.
Well, you can't run down the middle of the MCG screaming out Fry Pan. Of
course you can.
Nah, it's got to be shortened to Fry or Pan, one or the other. Fry Pan's too much of a mouthful when you've got a mouth gut in as well.
Yeah, Fry.
Just Fry.
Yeah, Fry. FPA.
Yeah, or FP.
FP. With Henry being out, does this mean we immediately go like for like and bring in Hendo as a tall replacement, or do we add, say, Narkle type and allow just Harry Taylor and Blitz as talls on Tex and Jenkins, Colo and Stewart, or Stewart to play on Lynch, the premise being the extra speed and pressure on the bigger ground? That's going to be the interesting thing. Henry is more mobile than Henderson. We have been, though, as we've already discussed, Chris Scott's confirmed Henderson will play, Henry won't play. That will make the matchups interesting. Yes, you're right. Daz Taylor and Blitzars will probably get Jenkins and Walker. Although I wouldn't be surprised if they play Taylor off one of those two, send Henderson to, and just let Taylor be that third man up in a marking contest.
Yeah, well, there's all sorts of permutations and computations, Kingy, and it'll be. I would have thought that Henderson has actually played well on Walker before. They used to want to send Tom Lonigan to Walker. So I don't know. Does Blitzarves go to Walker and then Henderson takes Jenkins? Taylor takes Jenkins. I'm not sure. It's and at least you've got options. It'd be really interesting to see how those three work together, because there's obviously a lot of conjecture in the off season about whether those three could play together. We'll get a snapshot on Thursday night, because the Cats' defence has been working really, really well. Will it work as efficiently and equally as well with Henderson in the mix?
Rondog, your thoughts on the tomahawk give off to young Jordan Clark? I don't think it was merely a give the kid a goal. I saw that Tom knew Jordan created the goal with his intercept mark, and given that he joe the goose to him anyway, he switched it back and wanted to get Jordan to get the credit for it. Jordan's penchant to play on and created every opportunity is a fine attribute. There's a great word, penchant.
Yeah, he's an attacking player. That was the on the word coming out of the draft last year, that he attacked the ball both on the ground and in the air, and he loved to take the game on. So, something you don't want to take out of him. He's going to be a really dashing defender early in his career. Whether or not he can push up and play more of a wing role as he develops will be something that obviously the club will have to sort of judge.
Well, maybe that's where Cam Guthrie comes back into the side and they move Clark up the ground.
Well, as a kid, I don't know you want to start swapping positions for kids, but yeah, I mean, it's something that can be looked at. But yeah, look, the way he plays the game is something that certainly excites you, because he's got some speed and he's got some guile, and he can take a mark too. So yeah, plenty to like. He's one that it'd be interesting to see how long he can last this season in terms of before he's, you know, things start to maybe wear on him a little bit.
Yeah, the Cats will. They've got people tracking all that sort of stuff, and they'll make the calls where they have to in terms of, you know, do we have to rest this bloke this week? And as you said, the Cats have got to get players into the side that are, you know, the back end of the year. It's all good to make no changes, but you can't have 22 blokes playing the whole season. So the Cats will mix and match where they need to.
Yeah, well, of course, and you're going to need some guys. And I mean, you know, hopefully the injury curse doesn't hit them. It's hit them the last few years so far. This year so good. Obviously Henry copping some sort of knock. I mean, it didn't
appear. It was a hamstring issue. Okay, so I think there's a little nick in it. So
it appeared to be major.
So I'd be surprised if he plays the Giants. I reckon they'll give him, because if they wait for him to play till Easter Monday. What did he do it on? That'd be 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And usually the hamstrings are a 3 week arrangement. And they want Henry playing, because when he's up and about, he's quite
athletic. Gives him some versatility.
He does. Yeah. He can play forward too.
Oh, he can play anywhere.
You love Jack Henry, don't you?
No, I love him.
You love Charlie Constable.
I do love Charlie Constable.
You do love Charlie Constable. Chook. You're not going to Adelaide.
No.
Which disappointing. Is that to do with the ban notice that you have from Hindley Street?
That's probably. There's a couple of things, a couple of factors involved in that. But I won't be there on Thursday night, but you will be front and square.
Yes.
Lee Brown will be front and square.
Oh, Brownie can't wait for Adelaide.
And Ian Cohen will be front and square.
Maxi Burford joining us
and
as
Maxi
well.
And Maxi Burford on the boundary. 10. So, look, it's going to be it's a cast of thousands over there. But I will be watching and listening to The Rock and hoping that the Cats can go. Even two and I mean, look, worst case scenario is they're competitive against Adelaide. They play well, don't win. You move on. You're not going to win every game.
No.
You 2-1, great start.
Yep.
If they happen to scrounge an upset victory, well, strides come off pretty much. So at 3-0. But look, the way they're playing, I'm confident that they'll be competitive.
Yep.
Difficult to win over there. Adelaide, a pretty good team. we'll find out some more. Great to see them put four more quarters together.
Yeah.
And whether that means win, lose or draw, who knows. But it's certainly been a really positive start, Kingy.
Big weekend on K-Rock, Geelong and Adelaide, Melbourne and Essendon. Ooh, hasn't that game got a little bit on it now?
Oh, wow.
0-3 for somebody. Carlton and Sydney, 0-3 for somebody there as well. And then the Hawks in North Melbourne in the final round and the Roos.
Staring down zipping three.
Yeah.
And Hawthorn can't believe they're still getting over the fact they lost last week.
30 points up at the 6-minute mark of the last.
Wow.
Shows you that you can't, when you can't throw a player back behind the footy, amazing how the game opens
up. Well, you
up.
Can during play.
But when you want to stop a roll on out of the middle,
yeah,
like the Bulldogs had,
it becomes difficult.
It does become very, very
hard.
Yeah,
it becomes sweaty sort of buzz action.
Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the Cat Attack podcast on iTunes.